our plan is to, we have three quick sort of reaction questions, and then we're going to open it up. We have three people that we had picked before, Peter, Amar, and Sharon, who are each going to give a little response, and then we'll open it up, and I will try to let us go as long as we can and get as much information as possible. Peter.
Yeah, I'm Peter Fiscal. I'm with Action Aid in Washington, and we've had the good fortune not only to preside or participate in an exchange among Katrina organizers and tsunami activists, but also to talk to Naomi a little bit over the last couple of days and to see an advanced copy of this book, which I highly recommend. I have to say, first of all, it's a really kind of towering intellectual achievement to kind of tease out this underlying logic among what could be seen as kind of disparate events, from the coup in Chile to Katrina and the tsunami. And it's really, really compelling to begin to see, even in that 6-minute movie, but especially as you run through this book, how those events get tied together. So I really want to focus on that. And of course, as I was listening to you, I was thinking, when is she going to get to this, you know, the hope and the next step? Thinking my question and my comment in that direction, and then you hit it right at the very end. I just wanted to reinforce that last part, that just as you've laid out how shock and awe, you know, they open the way for disaster capitalism, it was so striking to listen, not just to Saket, but to all of the participants of this conversation today, activists and organizers, recognizing that disaster is always also, as Bill Quigley said today, all kinds of opportunities for justice work. It lays bare all kinds of other needs. We were talking to the Indian colleagues who talked about the experience of being dispossessed of their land, driven away from the coastal regions after the tsunami, and then not allowed to come back. Sitting across the way from activists and public housing residents in New Orleans, in the shadow of perfectly fine-looking brick buildings that had withstood the flooding, but these folks were also not allowed to go back. So how is it that activists across oceans who are confronting this same phenomenon of displacement and being denied their right to return can stand up and fight for that right to return? All of that was going to lead me to this question about how we move from disaster capitalism to disaster collectivism. And I just want to reinforce, I guess, those principles that you laid out. I mean, the importance of these processes of conversations of solidarity building, of sharing experiences, of looking at tools and methodologies, of exploring opportunities for joint advocacy and so forth, is very, very much what we would like to promote, what we would like to see as a solution for this. And I hope that in the forthcoming questions, we can even begin to explore what disaster collectivism might look like more explicitly here in New Orleans for those who need to go. So that would just be my pitch to you, if we can get some more conversations on that topic. Thank you.
Why don't we do all three comments and then the last name?
Yeah. My name is Amar. I'm from Action Aid. I work in Chennai. Work with the tsunami survivors in 320 villages around 1,100 kilometers coastal stretch. I am really fascinated by the word disaster collectivism, but I have real concerns with this. When state fails and when the grassroots groups drop off and take over the...
I want to ask you to come to the microphone so everybody can
hear. There's a lot of people behind you.
Disaster collectivism in the response to the failure of the state and the response of the community or the grassroots groups to replace the state action is a real concern for me, because state is the collective will of citizens. So the grassroots groups are a collective will of community. But when in large disaster response, they operate, are they really accountable to the collective will? If state is not there and these people with a lot of goodwill come and work for their own community, sometimes perhaps the danger is that they are not accountable. And in India, there is a debate right now going on. We have a Right to Information Act. And the Right to Information Act imposes responsibility on the government to be transparent, and the citizens have right to ask questions and make the government accountable. But when the same issues was raised that the, all the international institutions, including local NGOs, be accountable, there are lots of opposition. In the UN, World Bank, corporates, multinationals are not part of Right to Information. So in the failure of the state, the collective actions of the NGOs, the grassroots groups need to be viewed in this context.
Last reactor is Sheridan Henshaw from Biloxi. He's doing a terrific job. Gulf Coast Women for Change in Biloxi, and she's going to give us her reaction.
Hello. I'm Sharon Henshaw from Biloxi, Mississippi, which I haven't heard too much of. Y'all know I'm from Mississippi, you know, but I'm partnered with New Orleans. I don't have anything against you guys. I'm New Orleans. So when any time to bill itself, you can visit. You know what I'm saying? Just share. Disaster collectivism. When I heard Naomi speaking, I was like, God, she's connecting with me, because I'm feeling this is what I'm saying to my people. When you have a disaster, even pre-disaster, you think, okay, my neighbor is damaged. My job is to help my neighbor. Once I help my neighbor, we help the next neighbor. You don't have to wait for government assistance to help us. We have to do our own healing. You know, we have to build our own self up. So you really hit that on the head. So the first thing you have to do is have a desire. I was in the storm, lost everything, had to find my children. And what I had to do was say, well, I'm still living here. I'm pinching myself. So what I have to do is build. I can't just stay stagnated and just sit there. So all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I was a cosmetologist, that's gone. I'm going to have to get up and do something. So we started meeting, and that's what created grassroots, as you would say. A person who was an activism in her mind had to be actively in public, like I am right now. You know, just doing and moving, because I had a desire and a vision. And when I think about this, this today is very important, because now I have a voice that other people hear, that this is a big plus, that I see a vision, that I do see hope, because everybody here feels the same way, that we can't just sit and we can't depend on the government. We have to do for ourselves collectively, and people help each other and say, okay, I see the vision. I think I should share this experience with you so you can take it to your people and you can help each other build, instead of saying, well, God, nobody helping me. You know, it's not personal. It's bigger than that. And we have to think of it as bigger than that. You start it. And you ask people, can you help me? I don't really know what you're talking about, but I see your vision. I want to, you know, help myself and help my family. Can you assist me with anything? Instead of being territorial, just share your information. It's okay to share your information. I think we should do one project at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself. Just try to, you know, analyze this thing. When I went to India, that was when my eyes just really opened up. I was like, oh, these people are moving. They're doing things, and they're just doing it because they see it needs to be done. They're not waiting for anyone to help them. And the women are so powerful. It's just, okay, I'm ready now. It was like, thank you for the food, now I'm ready to go. You know? Because I was moving, but I wasn't moving as fast. They gave me my energy pill, and I'm like, ready to go. And I'm just excited, and now I'm here, and I'm taking all these notes. So I got a whole book full of notes of things I have to do once I get back. So I feel like, exactly, Naomi just, she blew me away, because she was right on point. about neighbor helping neighbor. Just do this. So why does it have to be so complicated? I mean, like, we have to wait for someone to help us. I don't understand that. Why can't it be just simple? I mean, we connect with these big corporations and be like, okay, I'm doing this stuff. You have wood. Can I purchase this wood? Can I help you? Instead of just making it so big, well, no, you can't do that. Well, you did it. It's just too much bureaucracy. We need to leave it out of the whole picture and just work it out. You know, and so I just appreciate having this opportunity just to give my little knowledge on that. And thank you so much.